And Father, we come to you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. With nothing to offer, Master, but our praise and our lives. Please accept them tonight as a living sacrifice. Wash us with the blood. Purge us with your presence as we repent for every word, thought, deed, selfish ambition, touching unclean things, unfulfilled vows, pride, lust of the eye and lust of the flesh. Forgive us, Lord. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound. As you wash us with the blood and purge us with your presence, we welcome the Holy Spirit in here. Come, Holy Spirit. Take your rightful place. Let the anointing and the power and the glory of your love, of your presence, break every yoke of bondage. As your word goes forth, that by the stripes of Jesus, they be made whole in each and every one here today. That any hardening of the heart will be broke. That any blindness would be restored, spiritual sight. That every deafness would bring brought hearing. That every bondage and every evil presence will be removed from this house, from your temples, and from this property. And it'd be replaced with the fear of the Lord. Let your kingdom be manifested, Father. We love you, Master. We love you. We need you. Our hope is in you. Our strength is in you. And our life is in you. Fill us and dress us. Restore to us our first love. Sever the entanglements and affairs of this world. As we cast our cares upon you, commit to you our works, and acknowledge you in all of our ways. Trusting fully in you to fulfill what you started in each and every one, that all praise and honor and glory would be given to the name above all names, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah, give him glory. Turn to Psalm 112. If you notice, we did some warfare in the night. Removing the presence of evil, I truly believe, is our mandate. You know, we weren't rescued just to sit around and have goosebumps. We were rescued for a purpose, and it's to serve the Lord. And it's not about religion, it's about relationship. And we know, I mean, you just take a look around what's going on around you. And there's that false words of things are getting wonderful. Everybody has their hopes in the world. And our hope must be maintained in the Lord. In Psalm 112, would you read it with me? What does it say? Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who what? Fears the Lord. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? It is the reverence, honor, and respect to the Lord. It is the reverence, honor, and respect to the Lord. That is the fear of the Lord. It says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. So if there's no fear of the Lord in an individual, they are what? They're cursed. Why? Because if an individual does not have the honor, respect, and reverence to God, they have honor, respect, and reverence to darkness. See, there is no in between. You either serve one or you serve the other. There isn't a middle ground. You either serve light or you serve darkness. If you serve light on Sunday and darkness the rest of the week, Sunday doesn't count. If you serve light on Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know, it doesn't count. So you can't serve God the way you want to serve God. You must serve God the way God wants you to serve Him. And in that, there's a reverence to God. It's called the fear of the Lord. In fact, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom tells you what to do. The Bible says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. So there's got to be a place right now that God is really coming hard in the area of putting the fear of the Lord, that reverence. That's why we're fulfilling our priesthood, aren't we? And as blessed is the man who fears the Lord. I'm telling you, if you maintain that reverence to God and you worship Him and do what you're supposed to do, you will be blessed, no matter what the world says, because this is what's going to separate us from the world eventually, is those who fear the Lord. Has everybody got it? Those who fear the Lord, the world will see the blessing on them. But those who fear man, the curse on them. It says, praise the Lord. I wonder why praise is involved in fearing the Lord. Hello. Because we're to praise Him. Praise is an acknowledgement of reverence, respect, and honor. Blessed is a man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. And he says greatly. In other words, he delights greatly to obey. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. How many of y'all want your descendants, your offsprings, to be mighty on the earth? Well, then he already told you. He said, then praise the Lord and fear God. And greatly delight to do His commands. And your descendants, your children, will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be what? Blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright, does everybody see this? There arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of what? Evil tidings. His heart is what? Steadfast. Trusting in the Lord. His heart is what? Established. He will not be afraid until he sees his what? Desires upon his enemies. His desires upon his what? Enemies. Has everybody got it? He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be what? Grieved. How many of y'all want to grieve the wicked? He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. How many of y'all involved? How many of y'all are part of the timeless generation? Amen. Well, a timeless generation is with a steadfast heart. They carry the fear and the presence of the Lord. Their heart is established in pursuit of their enemy till they've overcome them. Wicked are evildoers who carry the presence of evil. But we are the timeless generation who pursue our enemy. Revelation 12. Why? Because it's our responsibility to what? Remove the presence of evil. That is our responsibility. Revelation chapter 12. In verse 7. Now we talked about the coming out. About how God said, come on out from among them. Why? Because you're coming out of the evil. And it's our responsibility to remove the presence of evil. I want to share about some strategies about removing the presence of evil. But I want to lay a foundation here because that's what God was doing from the beginning. Always removing the presence of evil. In verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was what? Cast out. He was removed. So evil was removed from where? Heaven. That serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were out, cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in the heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life to the death. Why? Because they are disciples, and the first requirement as a disciple is to deny yourself. So we see that they were cast out, they were removed, and they were overcome. The powers of darkness were overcome. In other words, Archangel Michael and the warring angels removed Satan's kingdom out of, in other words, Satan and his angels out of the presence of God. And he was sent to the earth. That's where he was sentenced. Welcome. So being sentenced to the earth, and then it was carried on, wasn't it? Now it's carried on to the body of Christ to constantly cast out the devils, remove the presence of evil. That is our job now, is to continue to remove the presence of evil. Now, what we're actually doing is because the presence of evil is associated with death. Why? Because the wages of sin is what? Death. And the word sin means presence of evil. So what we're doing is we're going to be removing death. So by removing death, we're calling forth life. Because the devil is the presence of evil, who is death. And Christ is the presence of life. Amen? So what we're doing is removing death to bring in life. Death to bring in life. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. In fact, the word evil, if you were to write it backwards, it would be live. Does everybody see? If you were to write the word evil backwards, it means live. Because the opposite of evil, which is death, is life. Is everybody okay? Go to John 3. John chapter 3. In verse 19. Would you all read it with me, please? And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So anyone practicing evil carries evil presence of death. And it promotes sin, doesn't it? Because sin is the presence of evil. Now, sin is the presence of evil. The next thing is transgression, which is the act of obeying the presence of evil, then iniquity, which brings a curse on your family line. Everybody got it? So one of the things that you can always see, there's always evidence of evil. There's always some. The evil presence always leaves some kind of evidence, or you can notice some kind of an evidence of the presence of evil. And it's by what a person practices. In other words, the Bible tells us you'll know them by their fruit. You can notice it in their lives, in their motives, in their attitude. You know how it is, how a person lives. They can be a Christian for 45 years and still fellowship with the presence of evil, not even know that they're fellowshipping with the presence of evil. That's why people need to go through deliverance.
Well, I've been a Christian 30 years. I don't need deliverance.
You're the one who needs it more than anybody. Amen. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, it amazes me because when people put their relationship or their freedom upon how long they've been a believer, that's stinking religion. Well, I've been a believer this long. I know this. That's prideful and arrogant. I know people that have been a believer 2 years and have a better relationship than people who have been a believer for 40 years. And let me share something. When it's good to go through deliverance once a year. Why? Because you have no idea what you picked up. But everybody else around you does. Just ask somebody, do you think I need deliverance? Go ahead, just go around someday and ask somebody, man, you think I need deliverance? Ask your spouse if you need deliverance. Ask your friends. Ask people. If they say yes, get it. And there's nothing wrong with a husband and wife doing deliverance on each other once a year. Hello? Listen, the Bible says that the serpent is the most cunning beast. You have no idea what you've picked up until you go through deliverance. Then you're going, whoa. I didn't know. Of course not. Satan's greatest weapon is deception. If the whole body of Christ would go through deliverance, there'd be advanced tremendously. But God's going to bring us through deliverance. He's going to start separating those. In fact, their stuff is going to be more and more exposed until they come through deliverance. Now, isn't deliverance removing the presence of evil? Amen. It's removing the presence of evil, not only in our lives, but in our homes. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Therefore, putting away what? Putting away what? Lying, is that the presence of evil? Yeah. Amen. If you're a liar, you got a demon. Let each of you speak what? Truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not what? Now, isn't that awesome? He says, be angry, but don't sin. In other words, there's an area where there's righteous anger, but don't let it fall into evil anger or the presence of sin or the presence of evil. Because, man, then next thing you know, you got a demon. And you're trying to shake anger. And then you're lying and justifying about your anger. Because lying always protects anger. Hello? Let's go a little further. Be angry and do not sin and do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Nor give what? Place to the devil. So whose responsibility is to not give place to the devil? Ours. So whose responsibility is to remove the presence of evil? Ours. You remember, God says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. They can't discern whether there's evil there. Man, you can get around a person and sense the presence of evil if you're clean. You can sense the presence of evil. You can tell what's going on. You can tell out of a person's mouth. You can tell where that person is prideful or trying to promote themselves. You can tell all of these things. Why? Because there's always evidence of the presence of evil. Always. Let's go a little further. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no what? Corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edifications, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not what? Grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So what he's saying, listen, if you're doing these things, you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And he's going to back away. He'll move away. I was like, go ahead. And he'll watch those demons access you and enter you. He'll try to tell you, listen, man, what are you doing? You know better than that. But people go off in the anger and all of this other stuff and arguing and whatever. And the next thing you know, the Holy Spirit is grieved. And he's just left you for a few days. Then you're trying to survive in the flesh. And you're praying and praying and praying, oh, Lord, help me. I feel miserable. Da, 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 da. Guilt, condemnation comes. Why? Because you've opened yourself up to the devil and you can't shake that guilt and condemnation. And about two or three days later, the Holy Spirit shows up. And it's like, oh, thank you. And the anointing breaks the yoke. And the sword of the Spirit gets kicked in action. And because you cried out to him, he rescued you. And he severed. And he gave you dominion and authority. And remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal your foundation. Does everybody got it? He comes. This is his job. One thing he wants to do is kill your dominion and authority. And then he wants to destroy your future. In verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Don't give place to the devil or sin. It's the presence of evil, because it will grieve the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. Is everybody there? 1 Samuel 15. Starting at verse 1, and Samuel also said to Saul, who was the king, he said, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly what? Destroy all that they have and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Now there's more to it than what we're going to get into tonight. But I want you to understand that even God was removing the presence of evil. And he knew that their offsprings would be evil also. So Saul gathered the people together, numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for you showed kindness to all of Israel, the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of Amalek, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel. And the Lord said, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king. For he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning, met Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, And indeed, he sent up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is this pleading of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. Now, of course, he made a mistake there, didn't he? He said your God because he didn't acknowledge him as his God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet. I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak on. And Samuel said, When you were little in your own eyes, in other words, when you were humble, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners. That meant the what? Presence of evil. The Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? And why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission in which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, and the best things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the what? Sin of witchcraft. So his rebellion, what actually happened was Saul cooperated with the presence of evil. Does everybody see this? Saul cooperated with the presence of evil. And stubborn is an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from what? Being king. You know, some people wonder why they get moved out of position or what's going on, or they haven't been put in position. And it's because of that little bit of rebellion. That's all it takes, is that little bit. God knows the heart of an individual. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. In other words, I have associated with the presence of evil. For I have transgressed, in other words, he listened to the presence of evil, and he did the act. The commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. In other words, he reverenced man and lost the fear of God. Does everybody understand that? He feared man instead of God. Now, verse 25. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And in this, we understand that, you know, sometimes when you are associating and agreeing with the presence of evil, God is going to reject you for a period. That's why he says, obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. See, people don't realize that there's been delays put on people's lives because of their rebellion and stubbornness. Because they want to serve God according to their way and not God's way. Now, it was a real simple thing. He said, go there and utterly destroy everything. I mean, they had enough military, no problem. But he listened to the voice of the stranger. And he chose to do certain things himself, even though in his eyes, they were okay. But in the eyes of the Lord, it was rebellion, and it was witchcraft, and it was coming in agreement with the presence of evil. And especially you parents with children, you must be careful. You try to do it your way instead of God's way, you'll come in agreement with the presence of evil, and God will reject your children. Does everybody understand? Why? Because what does the Bible say? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you rejected my knowledge, I'll reject you as priests. And because you've forgotten the law of my God, I will reject your children. You want your children to get rescued, you better stay in line. You got to stay in line. And you know what? You may not see it. And it doesn't matter whether you see it or not. The bottom line is the end result is they make it home, isn't it? I'm telling you, I can't tell you that when I finally gave my child, my older daughter, to the Lord, and I said, you know what, Lord? If I never see her again, that's okay. Because the bottom line is, I'm going to see her when I get home. She's yours. Of course, within a short period of time, she showed up on Father's Day. See, sometimes we're so trying to do whatever for our children that we're actually tying the hands of God. And until you sever your grubby hands from the circumstance, and then God moves. Everybody okay? Hallelujah. Go to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. Elijah the prophet. In 1 Kings 18, in verse 20, it says, so Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him no word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many. And call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull with which was given them and prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, no answer. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is God. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves as with their custom, with knives and lances until blood gushed out of them. Did you ever hear of somebody who cuts themselves? They have demons. Cutters are demons. They cut themselves to try and relieve, but it's the same arena. Remember, Baal here is a representation of Satan, and his priests and servants cut themselves to try to move the hand of Baal or the hand of Satan. Does everybody see this? People who cut themselves are demonized. Okay, verse 29. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering and the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice and no answer. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near me. So all the people came near him. And he prepared the altar of the Lord that was put on there. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold two shays of seed. And he put the wood in the order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill four water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood, and then and he said, do it a second time, and they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time, and they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, And he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal, do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and executed them all. Elijah killed 450 of the prophets of Baal. What did he do? He removed the evildoers, the presence of evil. Does everybody see this? Ephesians chapter 5. Now, the presence of evil was removed and the fear of the Lord came, didn't it? Ephesians 5. Man, they feared the Lord when they saw all of that get licked up, burnt up, and took up. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have what? No fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. Did Elijah expose them? Amen. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are what? Evil. In other words, the presence of evil is everywhere. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with what? The Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another, where? In the fear of the Lord. In other words, expose and remove. You'll know them by their fruit. Like again, there's always evidence of the presence of evil. Always. So everybody got it? Well, I want to go somewhere. Joshua. Joshua 7. Joshua 7. In verse 1. Is everybody there? But the children of Israel committed a what? Trespass regarding the what? Cursed things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of all the rest of them, took the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now everybody suffered in the camp because one person had an accursed item. Now an accursed item draws demonic activity. Now listen, the Lord told Joshua to go out and fight. They went out to fight and they lost the battle. Joshua comes back and goes, man, why did we lose the battle? I don't get it. Come on, read this with me. I'll show you. In verse 6, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. And he and the elders in Israel, and they put dust on their heads. In verse 7, and Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over to the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we might have been content and dwelt on the other side of Judah, of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? And the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has what? In other words, they have associated with the presence of evil. And they have also what? Transgressed. Why? Because they committed the act, what the presence of evil said to do. My covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have put it also where? Put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their what? Enemies. But turned their backs before their enemies because they had become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Does everybody see that? Accursed items draw demonic activity. If you've got books, magazines, and music and stuff like that in your home, you cannot defeat your enemy. But it's something precious. That's nice. But their family things that have come down. Man, this is grandma and grandpa's guilt or demon picture, you know. This is Uncle Joey's witch doctor friend. Nice. Hello? I remember one time my wife and I went to a hotel, and I always usually go in and clean out. And I opened one of the things where the TV is, and there was a Buddha there. And I thought, man, I just go put it out. And the Lord said, no, destroy it. So, man, what am I going to do? He said, then just put it out in the bag outside. So I took that Buddha and went, poof, destroyed it, put it in the bag and removed it. Put it out in the hallway. And they came and picked it up, and nobody said nothing. Didn't get a bill. Why? Because it was commanded by the Lord. Now, don't go into hotel rooms and start tearing things up, amen? Taking things off the wall and whatever. Hello. One time I was in another state, and I was in a hotel room, and during the middle of the night, these two huge demons came in, and they were lustful demons. And I got up and commanded them to leave. And I'm like, man, there is something in this room. And I was pulling out drawers, and I was looking under the bed. And I'm telling you, because there's no way that two big demons like that could come in my room unless there was something in that room. And I finally got to this last drawer, and I pulled it out. And the Lord said, pull it all the way out. Pull it off. I pulled it off, and there was pornographic books stored underneath it. And, of course, I took those things and rolled them up, and I'm thinking, oh, God, how am I going to get it? You know, I got to get these out of this room. And I'm not waiting till, you know, I'm doing this now. So I'm like, and there was a garbage can right out in front. I went, and they moved it. And I'm like, oh, no. So I went around the corner and dumped it. But anyways, I'm thinking, oh, that's all I need to do is get caught with this thing. There have been headlines everywhere, you know. But, you know, when you have accursed items in your home, you cannot defeat your enemy. It's our responsibility to remove the presence of evil. Removing the presence of evil. Those evil movies, gangster movies, all of that other garbage, books. You know, it's our responsibility to remove these out of our homes. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Turn to James 3. James chapter 3. In verse 13. James 3, 13. Would you read it with me, please? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Now, wait a minute now. Remember we said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom is what tells you what to do. In verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? Demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of those who what? Make peace. That worldly wisdom they're talking about, and that area of demonic wisdom, or is the wisdom, in other words, remember, you can tell there's always evidence of the presence of evil. In other words, they lie against the truth. They what? They lie against the truth. Ooh. We see demonic wisdom all over the earth, and especially in this country. There is demonic wisdom all the way from the White House to the backyard shed, let me tell you. There is demonic wisdom all over this country. They lie against the truth. And people are so deceived with delusion that they're believing it. And they're putting their trust in their government instead of God. And they will be very surprised. Psalm 54. So it's our job to remove the presence of evil so that it can be replaced with the fear of the Lord. And Psalm 54. Would you read it with me? Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. So is that the presence of evil? Amen. These are evildoers. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. He will what? Cut them off in, what does he say? Cut them off in your what? Truth. So truth will cut off the enemy, won't it? So why do you think the enemy is trying to prevent truth from coming forth? Because he knows that he'll get cut off. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. Awesome. Awesome. Proverbs 20, while you were here. Proverbs 20, in verse 30. Would you read it with me? What does it say? Blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart. Did you ever get convicted so hard it was like somebody just, bam! Oh, what was God doing? Removing the evil. Blows that hurt remove evil. Does everybody see that? Cleanses away evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And so do stripes. It's called spankings. And you know, parents are supposed to be parents, not friends. You want to be just a friend of your child, you'll become his enemy. You want to be a parent, your child will love you. Some people just don't want to correct their children or afraid of hurting their feelings or losing their children. Of course, you have to be careful because, you know, you might get arrested for a hate crime. I spanked my child, I got arrested for a hate crime, you know? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this country has just fallen to shambles, man. I mean, it really is. Without the body of Christ, there is no help. Why? Because the body of Christ carries the presence of God, the fear of the Lord, the truth. There is no help. You, the body of Christ, is now the way, the truth, and the life. That's why you got a mouth to speak. You carry the presence and the anointing of the Lord. Where you go, that's why the Bible says, bind the strong man before you enter and plunder the goods of the evil. And what are you doing? You're removing the evil or muzzling their mouth so you can enter and plunder the goods of the evil one. That's our responsibility. In verse 3, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is what? Proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over the words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Does everybody see that? With such withdraw. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. And we see that greatly in this country. Greed is phenomenal. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So the love of money is the root of every type of evil, every type of presence of evil, the love of money. People will go great lengths for money. You can turn on a TV program and they're eating worms to get a buck. Come on. It blows my mind. They get on these shows and act like idiots to try to get a dollar. People will do anything for money in the world. Why? Because the presence of evil, every type of form of evil is associated with the love of money. You know how much of the body of Christ tithes and does offerings? Remember, tithe is a command. It's not a giving. An offering is the giving. Tithing is a command. You know, when you get something and you're blessed with something, you should be tithing on it. The Bible says, give of your first increase. It's unfortunate many people think that they're supposed to be tithing to themselves. That's not how it's supposed to be. Tithing is a command. Offering is the giving. Is everybody okay? Ooh, yeah. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, so many people have not discerned the times and the seasons, have taken all their money and invested it in a hope, stocks and things, because they did not discern the times. They didn't hear from God because God wouldn't have told them to do that. And lost everything, and they are destitute. Hello? Destitute. Because if they truly are believers and have a relationship with the Lord would have told them what to do. He would have prevented them from doing something. See, but most people have a distance relationship with the Lord. They walk in assumption. They walk in hope. Man, I sure hope that was God. You better know it was God. And if you don't know, you don't do nothing. You wait. But you invest in the kingdom of God, not in a demonic wisdom. Hello? You know, we got to put in action in the areas of removing the evil presence. And I've got 7 P's for perfection. Everybody all right? Are you ready? 7 means complete and perfect, right? Perfection. It's our responsibility to remove the presence of evil and to bring the fear of God. In Ephesians 6, is everybody there? Oh. The first P is called prayer. 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 Pray. Ephesians chapter 6. If you don't have a prayerful life, you don't have a life of Christ. Without a prayerful life, there is really no relationship whatsoever. When I pray and I ask the Lord to give me everything. I'm talking about prayer. Prayer. In Ephesians 6:12, now let's start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or trickery of who? The devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So you're fighting against the presence of evil. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And what? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, that is the seventh part of the full armor of God, and it's called praying in tongues. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying in the Spirit means praying in tongues. You pray the perfect will of God and receive revelation on what to do. Praying in tongues. So everybody got it. It is a gift from the Lord. It manifests when you are baptized in the Spirit. And that is the second command. It's a command to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. So if you're not praying in tongues, you haven't obeyed God to go get baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and the gift of tongues manifests, hello? Because it's the one gift you can't mess up. And as you begin to pray in the Spirit, you're praying the perfect will of God. You're praying directly to God. The devil can't understand what you're praying, so he can't cut it off. Hello? He doesn't know what you're praying. Next thing you know, things are happening because the Lord is sending angels on your behalf to kick butt on the devil because he's sending you out to do something. You don't know what's coming. God knows what's coming. But because you don't know what's coming, the devil don't know what's coming because the devil can read your mind. Hello? And he understands English. And any other kind common language. It's amazing how people try to argue with you. The devil can't read my mind. That's ridiculous. Who do you think you fight with? Did you ever ask yourself a question? You got an answer, right? Hello? People think, well, I'm talking to myself. You better find out who you're really talking to. I get a lot of people to tell me stuff, and I'll say, who told you that? Because I'll get a witness in my spirit that that wasn't my father. Hello? Glory to God. So the seven P's, perfection, the seven P's of perfection to removing the presence of evil is the first one is prayer. Praying in the Spirit. The Bible says, stir yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost. People don't, I'm telling you, people have the gift and they lay it aside and don't even use it. And they have no idea the importance of praying in tongues. In fact, if you don't know, we have teachings on tongues for the children. Psalm 149. Psalm 149. Prayer. The second one is praise. Do you notice that when we praise the Lord, we're warfaring, weren't we? It removed the presence of evil, didn't it? 149. It says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. It's amazing. And how many believers still won't praise God? I'm a believer, but I'm just going to praise God in silence. No, you're an idiot. And you're not willing to obey the word of God. Because the Bible says, praise him. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. It doesn't say be silent. The word praise means sing. Not be silent. Amazing to me when people say, let's take a moment of silence. I'm thinking, oh, yay, yay. Take a moment of silence, man. We need to do some intercession. We need to do some praising. That's what the devil wants, is a moment of silence so we can move while you're being silent. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. And his praise in the assembly of the saints. Are we the assembly of the saints?
Yeah.
Amen. That's why we praise. Let true ministries rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with a dance. Oh, we love the dance. Yeah, we just do the Holy Ghost shuffle on his head. Let them sing praises to him with a timbrel and a harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. See, when you begin to praise and worship God, humble spirit begins to manifest. And the Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Yeah. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their what? Hand. Why? Because that's warfare. That is warfare. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. To execute what? Vengeance on the nation and punishments on the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute on them the written judgment. Dishonor have all of his saints. Praise the Lord. Praise. Brings the anointing and the sword of the Spirit. 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14. Is everybody there? 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears. So if it's not his will, does he hear? No. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the what? Petitions that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning or having fellowship with the presence of evil, but it doesn't lead to death, he will what? Ask or put a petition. And he will give him life for those who commit sin, not leading to death. There is sin leading to death, and I do not say that you should pray about that. In other words, move on it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. So the third thing we want is petition. Your petition for intervention. Has everybody got it? Your petition for divine intervention. So you got prayer, praise, and petition. Luke 11. Now you may think, well, I thought prayer would be petition. No, praying in the Spirit, you don't know what you're praying. The petition, you know. And if you don't know, the devil don't know, right? Hallelujah. See, but when you start making your petition, the devil's going to try and prevent. Does everybody understand it? That petition from coming to pass. See, because the angels of the Lord work on the released from the Lord in carrying the messages and the petition. When that petition goes before the Lord, because your prayers are incense before God, he knows. Then what he does is he sends the angels out on behalf. Hello. But the powers of darkness know that, so they try to prevent the angels from getting to the places that's supposed to be. In fact, if you remember in the book of Daniel, it took 21 days for him to receive an answer from the Lord because the prince of Persia was interfering with the angel Gabriel. And then Michael had to come over and help Gabriel kick butt on a couple of those principalities. Then Gabriel brought the message to Daniel. Has everybody got it? So that's why it's important that we bind up principalities, powers of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places, coming against the angels working on our behalf. Why not assist them? They assist you. Luke 11 and verse 4. Luke 11, verse 4. Is everybody there? Well, let's try five instead. Somebody there. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, and for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though, he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend. Yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Persistence. Persistence. You must be persistent. You can't give up. That means you must continue. You must be persistent. Why? Because the enemy waits for you to back off. The moment you back off, he steps in. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. You skip a day, I'm telling you, you skip a day of prayer, you have a fight for about 30 days. Make no place for the devil. You have no idea how many times things are stolen in the days you skip prayer. That's how people miss God. We must be persistent, don't give up, continue, and be consistent. No matter what it takes. 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30. In verse 8. This is so powerful. And just one simple verse is just so powerful. It says, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. In other words, everything that's been taken from you. See, we must be in pursuit of our enemy. But the first thing he did was he inquired, Lord, should I pursue this or should I wait on you? Has everybody got it? See, you must know when to pursue and when to wait. But he first must inquire of the Lord. So we got prayer, praise, petition, persistence, pursue. And then Jeremiah 39. Jeremiah 39. In verse 1, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem, and he besieged it. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the 4th month, on the 9th day of the month, the city was penetrated. Then all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Now I want you to understand that there is an area where you and I must penetrate. We must penetrate the presence of evil. We must penetrate. In other words, there's an area where you must bust through. It's called breaking through. That's why you are persistent, you are in pursuit, and you will penetrate that area. You will know when that breakthrough is manifested. Does everybody understand that? You do not quit until you have penetrated. It's like piercing. The Bible says that the Word of God pierces. It pierces even the spirit, soul, and body. It pierces. What has it done? It's penetrated, hasn't it? And it's done something. You know, they've got these bombs and whatever that, because the enemy forces are way underground. And they've got these bombs that can actually go in and penetrate, not explode at first contact. What it does is it penetrates and goes all the way in until it hits its position. Then it explodes. Has everybody got it? So there's an area where you must be persistent to penetrate or to pierce through. And that's when you decree the word, isn't it? You are piercing. Why don't you go to Hebrews 4 so you can see this. Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and what? Powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So by your decrees, you are penetrating. You are piercing through. And go to Revelation 2. Revelation chapter 2. You know, Jesus and his disciples are out and about. And because I knew about Elijah calling down fire, there was some stuff going on, and the disciples said to the Lord, "Lord, can we call down fire upon them?" And the Lord would kind of rebuke them. No. You're not supposed to call fire down on them. But you know, you and I can call fire down. He can call fire down on your enemy. I call fire down on the assassin of destiny, spirit in their foundations that will come against the kingdom of God. I call fire down upon them. And their foundations to destroy them. And the last one we're going to call is pulverize. To pulverize. We want to pulverize the enemy. So we want to pray, praise, petition, be persistent, pursue, penetrate, and pulverize. Glory to God. And you call down fire upon the powers of darkness. You know, one day Kate and I were driving by this house of ill repute. It was a bar people hung out. And we knew it was a perverse bar. Of course, most of them, all of them are. But anyways, every time we'd go by there, there was just something in my spirit. And so we'd call fire down upon that place. And we'd say, "Lord, rescue the souls there. Rescue the souls there." It was a gay bar, and we just said, you know, "Rescue the souls there." Well, one day, Kate and I were driving by, my wife and I were driving by, and next thing we know, there was nothing but the place was burnt to, was pulverized. I mean, it was gone. It was like her and I just looked at each other and went, "Whoa!" Of course, I started calling fire down on everything I didn't like then. "Lord, how about that one? Come on, yeah." Praise God. Revelation 2:18. "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like flaming fire, his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, your patience. As for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds." Now, we know that in these end times, that spirit of Jezebel is stronger and stronger and stronger. Why? Because we are close. The next event is tribulation and then great tribulation. So he's saying right here, he says, "I'm going to cast her into what? Great tribulation. I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden." In other words, we are to know the depths of Satan. "But hold fast what you have until I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed, pulverized, to pieces like the potter's vessel. As I also have received from my Father, and I give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches or to the body of Christ. Does everybody hear that? So it's our responsibility to remove the presence of evil. Prayer, praise, petition, persistence, pursuit, penetrate, and pulverize. The seven P's of perfection. Go kick some butt, will you? Amen. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you. We thank you. Father, I pray boldness in each and every one here tonight. I pray boldness to stand strong, to be steadfast, to maintain a pure heart, to maintain a humble spirit. That clarity will come, Lord. Lord, that they will seek you before they do anything. That they will remove the cursed stuff. The things of touching uncleanliness. Lord, I pray for each and every one here tonight that your perfect will be manifested in them, through them, that you'll baptize them afresh in the Holy Spirit and in fire, that you'll visit them in a mighty way in dreams and visions, revelations, confirmations, and manifestations, and that they will carry the anointing and the presence and the truth, and that all heaven will back them according to your will, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.